Kennedy Page, and she is a native of where?
The Western United States.
So all over the Western U.S. Yes, I'm here in her studio, messaged her on Instagram and was just like, oh my gosh, I just wanted to talk to her and be her friend because she has got an amazing story of grit, of trial and tribulation, and then just overcoming heartache. So let's just jump right into it because I don't even know where to start with your story. She is an amazing artist. She's also like a ninja warrior. Were you on the show?
I've competed on 4 seasons.
So you were on it.
But they've never aired my record.
They haven't? What the heck? Why not?
Well,
I. And were they successful runs?
Yes.
All 4?
Well, not all of them, no. But that's a good question. I think I did have a casting producer tell me once that, like, they were waiting for me to get a buzzer. Mm. Because they wanted to preserve my story. Like, that happens a lot where it's like they're trying to create a moment.
Of course, yeah.
And like, if they could have me look like I'm like the first time on the show and I've been through this hard thing and then I get a buzzer, then it creates like a magical moment, right? So they hold things back until...
So we might be watching a 4-year-old...
Yeah. Well, so like, for example, my friend Sandy Zimmerman was like the first mother to ever hit a buzzer on the show. And that was in 2019, and I was there. I saw her actually like get the buzzer, and they played on the show like it's her first time, but it was actually like her 3rd season.
Okay.
So you know, it's all
well. So, but you've hit the buzzer, haven't you?
I've never.
Haven't hit the buzzer. Dang.
And that's why it's like if you hit the buzzer,
then
like,
they'll air it.
You are guaranteed. Like they have to show you.
Yes.
Right? And so I honestly, like, this past season was probably my most, like, disappointing ever because I was so ready for that moment because I thought, man, like, I literally came in with, like, no athletic experience. What did I do growing up? In 5th grade, I was on a competitive jump rope team.
I wasn't on the team, but I won 1st place for the jump rope competition at school.
Okay.
I was
on a team that, like, traveled and did, like, you know, assemblies for
elementary
school. So. But then we moved at the end of my 6th grade year, and so that cut that off. And then I did a season of track in 9th grade, really because of a crush, the boy was on the team. And then I did half of a season of cross country my sophomore year, and I quit halfway through the season because I would literally be ill. Like, I would push myself so hard, and we're just running 5Ks, you know, but I pushed myself so hard that by the end of the race, I wanted to barf.
Yeah.
So I just walked up to my coach, and I was like, this isn't fun.
No.
So so that was my athletic, like, I never played any sports or anything. And then I enjoyed running, so I called myself, like, a casual runner, a hobbyist runner.
Like a casual drinker. Just every now and then, but with running.
I would just, like, run for fun.
Yeah.
Like, through college, through pregnancies. But I never did races. I was literally just running for fun. And then we moved here to Utah in 2015, and our home was like a 1/2 mile from a rec center.
Oh, nice.
And so I told my husband, like, hey, we should work out sometime. Like, there's a gym, like, right, that we could walk to it. So I started taking fitness classes, and that's where I started to build, like, the foundation of my strength. But, you know, again, like, I've had 4 kids. Yeah. I'm just a mom. I'm lifting, like, you know, you start out lifting, like, 8 pounds, you know, and then you move up 10. You're like, oh, yeah, like, we're really making progress here.
What are they called? Fitness classes for 15
you
years.
Did?
Yeah. I taught lift, spinning, step. Step is my true love.
Oh, that's awesome.
So what did you take? Just all of them?
It was mainly like a boot camp style class. Yeah. I did high fitness for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But anyways, then after my, I'd say maybe like 2012, I started running competitively.
Oh.
So, I did tons of half marathons here in Utah. That was it. Like, that was my athletic experience.
So mostly cardio.
Yeah.
And
with some weight training with my boot camp classes.
Yes, sprinkled in. Yeah.
And then it was in the fall of 2018 that my little brother asked me to go climbing with him at a local gym here. Mm. And it was bouldering, so you don't have a rope. You just climb like 13-foot walls, and then if you fall, you just fall on a crash pad. And I had never bouldered before, but
I've never even heard of it. Like, that was it?
I should take you. No, it's so fun.
Is that scary? I mean, I know you're gonna fall, but can you still get hurt? I mean,
well, of course you can get hurt. Yeah. You can get hurt doing anything, but
totally.
I mean, I've never broken anything. I mean, I have my legs. I always say, look, I'm a fifth grader. You know, like I have bruises, but that's about
skin
it.
Yeah. And stuff.
Anyways, but when he took me to the climbing gym, I loved it because these routes are called problems.
Mm.
And they're rated problems. So you have like easy problems, and then you have super hard problems.
It's just like a metaphor for life going in there.
It is such, yes.
So cool.
And so you can choose your problem, and a lot of times the problems, like they say in climbing, you actually, it's funny because they call the sport climbing, but you actually fall like 70% of the time.
Yeah.
So you try a route and you fall, and you try a route and you fall.
Yeah.
And then I love it because it's like mentally and physically stimulating, because it's almost like solving a puzzle.
Right, you're
like
strategizing.
Figure out which hand goes where, which foot, what placement. Anyways, I love when you get to the top, like you've fallen so many times. Like this is so perfect for gritty women, right?
Yes.
You get to the top and you're like, yes, I just solved my problem today. Yeah. And it doesn't matter that it was an easy one, because it was hard for you at the beginning and you solved it. Right. And then progressively you can move up to harder problems. Mm-hmm. So my first time in the climbing gym, I was like, yes, I love this. I love the grit, and I love feeling like I accomplished something.
And you did not have the same upper body strength then that you do now.
Oh, no.
I mean, because she is ripped. She's got delts. No, yeah, we need to be in a tank top.
Fluffy sleeves. But I have actually, like, before pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I have a before picture.
Right, where
I'm flexing. And just a little. I'm like, oh, sweetheart, is there a bicep there?
It's just a little bit.
You can't really tell.
Yeah.
Anyways, but the climbing was like my gateway drug was climbing. Mm-hmm. And then I was literally like 3 months into my climbing experience. After my brother took me that one time, I got a membership in Shoes and started taking myself, you know, three days a week.
Yeah.
And I loved it because I didn't have to have a belayer. Like in climbing, you have to have a partner.
Yeah.
But you just like...
The on belay stuff.
You can just, solo all the time. And so I'd put in my ear pods and I just go solve problems at the gym. And
that's
amazing. So I'm literally honest. I'm taking you with me one day.
Is it the same? I mean, you can go and just memorize, or do they change the handles?
So they call that like a reset. Like they reset the routes every couple months.
Okay.
So eventually, like if you went to the gym in like August and you went back in like October, it'd be a totally different gym.
Interesting.
So that's it. And sometimes you're working on a problem and then they change it. And you're like, I didn't send it yet.
Shoot.
Anyways,
oh, yeah.
So I'm 3 months into this and I'm at the gym one day and I have a feeling. And the feeling says, you should apply for American Ninja Warrior. And like I had watched the show.
Yeah.
Like my husband, I actually really liked it. Cause
this is a decade ago, at least. 2012, did you say?
No. This was 2018.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So well, when did you start it?
When did I start doing
the climbing?
Climbing? Fall of 2018.
Oh,
so
August.
August was my first time in the gym, and now this is October. So
I've
been climbing 3 months.
And you want to do the show?
And this, I don't.
It just comes to you.
This
yeah.
thought comes,
yes.
And I think that's ridiculous. There's no way I'm doing. No, like I watched it with my husband. We love the stories. We love watching these like incredible feats. Like humans never cease to amaze me. But there was no way that I could ever do that, right?
Yeah.
So I just kind of like brushed it off. Like that was weird. But then I go climbing and the thought just kept recurring. And it's funny because people sometimes say, oh, Jenity, like, you hear God's voice so clearly. Like, I think you have a gift for it. And it's like, well, it's actually not that hard because most of the time the things that he tells me to do, I don't want to do.
Mm.
And so when you feel that argument with yourself, you're like, well, I'm not. Obviously, this isn't coming from me because I don't want to, I'm resisting it.
That's interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like we all have experiences like that where it's like, hey, you really should go talk to your neighbor, or you should really forgive your mom, or you should, you know what I mean? Like there's all these kind of ideas that we get that we resist. Like, no, I don't want to. No, that's hard. No, that'll be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're persistent, right? Like I feel like God is so persistent. And And he gives us multiple chances.
I was gonna say chances over and over and over again. Yeah.
So he tells me the first time, you should apply. And I was like, no. That was weird. And then it came coming back, and it kept coming back. And so finally one day I'm literally in my car driving home, and I can't stop thinking about it. And I keep fighting it. And this is like, I think a lot of moms out there will resonate with me when I say, like, a lot of times inspiration comes in the car.
Yes.
Because you're by yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of the few times in your day that you're going to be by yourself and it's quiet. And so I'm literally, I'm stopped at a red light. This is going to sound like so wacko, but whatever. And I just said out loud, like, God, I keep feeling that you want me to do this. Is this something that you really want me to do? And it was like, yes. Like, I just felt so strongly it was something he wanted me to do. And I was just like, why?
Well, and we don't usually think that he would lead or guide us to do something like that. It's usually something spiritual.
Right.
Should I go on a mission? Or do I marry this man? Or do I do this for school, but like do a Hollywood or like a, you know, a show that will be, you know, shown in front of millions of people? Like, that was inspiration, which is weird.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Like, you're thinking, this is a prayer I never thought I would offer, you know?
Seriously.
But then this is a whole other story. We'll have to go forwards and then backwards.
Yeah.
But I had spent my youth in a daily devotional practice where I really did train myself to hear God, to hear inspiration, to get answers to my problems. And that pattern, that devotional practice had led me to have a relationship with him so that when he asked me to do hard things, I know that I can't say no because I know that something great will come. Yeah. I know it'll be really hard, but I know that he doesn't ask me to do anything that he won't help me do.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, he technically only asked me to apply. So that was my consolation. It's like, I don't have to compete on it.
Well, it's kind of hard because it's like Joseph Smith, right? I knew that God knew. Is that kind of how it is for you?
Yeah.
You're like, I know that he knows and I'm just resisting, but I got to go. But I'm just applying.
Yeah, I just applied. So I didn't have, there wasn't a ninja gym close to me at this point. So I went to like a kid's trampoline park, you know, where they have birthday parties.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like a ninja course-ish thing set up. And I had been there with my kids before to play. And this course was actually pretty cool because it's pretty high off the ground and they just have these big airbags underneath you, which is similar to the show. Like when you compete on the show, usually you're like 10, 12 feet in the air, you know, and there's just like a body of water under you.
Yeah.
And I had been there with my kids and they'd have like a rolling log, you know, and I would like step on it as it, and you just, and you're like, that's not going to happen. And then you watch other kids do it and they fall, you know. And then they had, the last obstacle at this little course was called the Devil Steps.
Mm-hmm.
This is an obstacle that's been on the TV show, but it essentially looks like inverted stairs. Like you go up like this and then there'd be like a 4-foot gap. And so you'd have to like somehow like transfer over here and then you come down on this side.
Do you have to just jump?
Yeah.
Or can you just like move one hand?
No, it's too far to reach it.
Okay.
So I had been there with my kids and I had literally attempted that before. And I had gotten to the top, which I was proud of myself that I even like made up the stairs. But then like I looked over my shoulder at the gap and I was like,
no way.
What? Like how am I gonna get there? Yeah. So I go to film. And I hired this
you
guy.
Saying you go to film to send it into
a submission video. Okay. Yeah, I have to make a submission video. So I go to do it, and the guy that I hired to make my video was like, okay, we're going to do the quintuple steps, and we're going to do the rolling log, and we're going to do the jumping spider, and we're going to do the double steps, and we're going to do it all in one take. Go. And I was thinking, I've never done this before.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Why not?
Let's go. So I go to the starting line, and all of a sudden, I have another feeling, and this time it's my son, because my son is deceased, right? I feel the spirit of my son, and he says, let's do this, Mom.
Ooh.
And then all of a sudden, like all that fear, all the hesitation, I mean, it's really usually fear and hesitation that stops us from doing anything, right? But it was like that was just lifted, and I just went. And I got to that spot at the top of the devil steps that I'd always stopped before, and I just went. And
I didn't even hesitate.
I
You made it.
And I did it. And I came down and I looked at my husband and I was like, oh my gosh. Like,
and it was all in one take.
It was all in one take. I did it. And I was like, I didn't even know I could do that. And he's like, I didn't know you could do that either. And I was like, maybe I can be a ninja. Like, I don't even know. So that was like, that was the submission.
Okay. He's like, this is my easiest job. It was one take. He's probably there for 10 minutes.
Yeah. So once I submitted, I told my husband, like, maybe I should take ninja classes somewhere. Because it...
And you've already submitted, like, you've already applied.
I've already applied. Yeah. Yeah, because you apply in, like, December, and then you hear nothing for, like, 3 months. Like, you just put in your submission and don't call us, we'll call you.
Yes.
But I thought, like, man, if I hadn't taken any ninja classes, I mean, I don't think they're going to call me, but they called me to be on the show, and I literally had no experience. I will look like a fool up there. So maybe I should take classes. Mm. So I found a gym in Salt Lake, which was about like an hour drive from my house on a Monday night at 5 o'clock. It was the worst to like drive through all this traffic.
Yeah.
And I go and they're like, oh, are you here to sign up your kids? And I was like, actually, I'm here to sign up your classes. And so they put me in like their adult class, which really means like, you know, teenage boys, like college kids. And one of the first skills you have to learn is called a lache. And it's where you're swinging on like a steel bar, and then there's like a 6 foot gap, and you have to throw yourself 6 feet and catch the other bar.
Mm.
And I remember just swinging on that bar, and like I'm 5'7", so there's like 5 inches between my toes and the bar, and I'm just really, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Like, is it physically possible for me? Like, I'm swinging on this bar, and like somehow I'm gonna like fly 6 feet and catch this, what? Yeah. Like, it just seemed... It seems so impossible.
Totally.
Yeah. So you try and you throw and you fall and you fall and you fall and you fall. And then I threw so... my little teenage coach that I had, you know, he's like, you got to throw the bar behind you. And I was like, son, you realize that bar is stationary? You know?
Son.
Gosh. So but then I did. I followed his instructions and I tried to like throw the bar behind me and I got enough force. And this time I actually hit the bar. Like, I made the 6 foot gap, but this time my wrist just slammed right into the bar and I didn't grab it and I fell and I was like, oh my gosh! Oh, like, it hurts so bad.
That makes
like,
my broken wrist ache.
Yes, your wrist, like, that area is just so sensitive. Yes. I slammed this bar into it, but I hit it!
Yes.
I was like, it is possible! So I did it again, slammed my wrist in. I was like, oh! Like, the second time, you're just like, and I look at my little teenage coach and I was like, dude, I keep slamming my wrist into the bar. And he was like, you should really stop doing that. And I was like, I know. Anyways, I finally caught it.
Yeah.
And it's just like in climbing, right? Yeah. You made it to the top of the route and you feel like a champion. You're like, oh my gosh, let's go. I caught this bar.
Yeah.
So, but I remember getting the car to drive home and my hands and my wrists hurt so bad.
Mm.
I could hardly hold the steering wheel. I'm thinking, I am an artist.
Seriously.
Lord, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I literally said that. Like, I need, this is how I earn a living. Like, I can't be doing this. If this is something you really want me to do, like, I might need more support next week. So I show up the next, you know, I would be driving to Salt Lake with like fear and trepidation. Like, I'd literally be sweating like down to my rib cage.
Were you sore then the next day?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. But you have a whole week.
Yeah.
So classes were only like once a week and like, sorry about that.
You're fine.
Anyways, I was like so scared to go back, right? Just like the humiliation.
Totally.
The intimidation, and then just the full on, like, I could literally injure myself, right?
Yeah.
But then each week I kept getting like one more obstacle than I did the week before. And it was so amazing because you realize that I feel like it's so easy for us to set up these barriers of what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, And those barriers of what I thought was possible just every week just kept getting blown, you know.
So did you feel empowered?
Well, yeah.
Every single week, you're just like, oh my gosh, dominated that, on to the next step, like solving problems left and right.
That's right. Like, your possibility just keeps expanding.
Yeah.
And it's hard and it hurts and you don't necessarily get the obstacle that you want every week, right? It might take a month, sometimes. I mean, I literally just this past week, I was at the ninja gym and I did something I've been trying to do for 18 months.
Mm.
So it's kind of like as you progress, right? Yeah. Like the amount of time you have to put in to set a different obstacle becomes greater. But
did you do it?
Yes,
you did it.
I did it, and I was like so excited. excited about it. Anyways, so I started taking lessons in January, and then in March I get a call from a casting producer that they want me to come on a show.
When you had applied, did you give your story also?
Well, I mean, yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah. Like that's how they invite people to be on the show. Yeah. Like it's,
which we'll get to.
Yeah. So I'm sure that's how I got on the show, but then I just looked at my husband and I was like, dude, crap just got real, man. Like
it's an exciting phone call.
No, I have to go compete. Like I have to do this for real. Yeah, on a TV show.
National TV.
And it's not like you get to practice.
Yeah.
Like
I was gonna say, because when you go to these ninja gyms, then are they similar to the actual course?
So I'll say there's like core technique, right? Mm. There's like core moves. Mm-hmm. Like that obstacle is saying where you have to learn how to throw your body. Mm. You're going to throw your body down the whole course, but in all different various ways, you know? So, and they try to, like, I mean, they want to kind of stump the athletes, right? Mm. So they bring challenging, technique-y, harder little things like every year. So, and yeah, you show up. And first of all, like, it's at the Tacoma Dome. When I competed, it was at the Tacoma Dome. And they put you in this ninja holding area. And you're there and you're hearing people talk about how, like, yeah, like, I'm in the NFL. Or, yeah, cool, like, I competed for Team USA in gymnastics in this Olympics. And I'm an elite Spartan racer. And you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm a mom.
And I paint.
Like, literally, my only qualification for being here is I been climbing for 6 months. I've ran a 5K. Oh, no, I had ran half marathons. I've ran half marathons. Like, I'm totally qualified to be here. Like, totally. It just feels so
out of place, inferior.
Yes. It was so terrifying. And I literally felt like David and Goliath. Like, I felt like I was going in with my little sling, and here's Goliath. And they walk you down the course, and they have someone demonstrate the obstacles. Mm. And the demonstrators don't necessarily always complete it. Right. Yeah. I literally watched a girl like fly, like she got this obstacle, she flew into the mat and like sprained her ankle and like they had to call the medics, and then the producer's like, next obstacle. And
you're just like, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
And you got no practice rounds.
No. No.
Wow.
It's cold. Like you just get up there and it's go time and the cameras are on, and it's literally like the scariest thing I've ever chosen to do in my life. And my first season, you know, they had the shrinking steps. So you run up these little blocks that get further apart and smaller that are across water. Mm-hmm. You grab a rope, you swing. And, you know, I made it through some crazy obstacles. Like, this is just one obstacle. Imagine, like, two giant toilet paper rolls suspended from a rig. Okay, like that kind of shape. Mm-hmm. And they have, like, handles at the bottom of them. Mm-hmm. One on the right, the handle's up here. And the other one's the handle's down here. So you like lache to that handle, and then they have these little bars so you can do like some little pull-ups to get on top. Then you're literally standing on top and there's this handle right here, okay? And you have to like jump backwards, and that handle's gonna go underneath the toilet paper roll.
Oh my gosh.
And then you fly and launch and you hit a mat. That's the one where I told you the girl like busted her ankle doing it.
She's like, don't.
So you're up there, you've never done this before, and you're just like, I really hope this goes well.
Oh my gosh.
And then it's, talk about a leap of faith. Like, you literally just jump backwards. Like, you have to fly your legs out that way, take the momentum underneath the swing, and then just let go. And I landed on the mat. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I bet. You're like stunned. Now we can have an appreciation for when you watch the show while they're like,
yeah,
every time
like,
they land.
I made it. Oh my gosh. And then the fourth obstacle was some, they called it Broken Bridge, but it's like these panels that are suspended by chains, and you have to like run across the panels.
Yeah.
And I was like halfway through that and I fell in the water.
Oh.
So, but there's only like five obstacles and the warped wall. So it's like a rookie. I was
Is
like.
Is that the wall you climb?
It's the
what wall?
They call it the warped wall. Hmm. It's like a 14 and a half foot wall you run up.
Yeah. And then catch the top. Yeah. Okay.
So I was literally like one obstacle away from running up the wall, and it was my first season. Right. Yeah. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, I did it. Like, I did good enough, like, as a rookie to make it that far. It was incredible. And they'll share my story, and that's why God asked me to do this. And I can go back to being an artist.
Psych.
Yeah. And it's funny because I literally talk about, like, feelings and thoughts. Like, I literally had a thought that was like, Jenny, you're making a lot of assumptions about why I asked you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of like, well, yeah, I am, because I'm trying to figure out why the heck you sent me to compete on American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I painted this picture of what it was going to look like. I'm going to go. I'm going to share this heart-wrenching story. I'm going to talk about how God put me all back together.
Yeah.
They're going to put it on national TV.
And you're going to inspire millions.
Oh, I'll inspire millions.
Yes. Yes.
And I'll go back to my
studio.
Which
she has.
And I'll just keep painting, you know? And it's so hard because you come back and everyone wants to, when is your episode? I want to watch you on TV.
Yeah.
And you actually start to realize how much we as a public value television.
Right.
And it's kind of like disheartening a little bit because you're like, man, we are really into it. Like,
totally.
What? Anyways, it's a whole other topic. But so then I'm waiting and I'm waiting. You're waiting for the producer to tell you, like, get the email, like, when is your episode? And I got an email and it was like, Jenity, you did amazing for your rookie season, but you competed with too many celebrities and we don't have time for you on prime time.
Oh my gosh. Do you think they would have shared it anyway? Like if the celebrities weren't on it? You know,
So it was like so, I was like so devastated. It was like so crushing because you have to go and tell everybody.
Sorry.
Sorry, you can't watch me on TV. I know you're really excited to watch me on TV, but you'll have to catch me on Instagram, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then I go back to the drawing board. Like, why are we here? Like, what's the next step? Like, in everything that I do, I'm always trying to, I feel like my life is really like a partnership with God.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's like, let's have like group meeting. this didn't go like I planned. And what's the next step with American Ninja Warrior? And I felt, well, Jenny, come on. I mean, you've been training what, like 4 months now?
Mm.
So what if you train for a whole year? And you're like,
oh my gosh.
I'd probably get stronger.
Yeah.
That would be so hard.
Oh my gosh.
But I was like, okay. So I just kept showing up and we actually got a gym closer to my house so that I didn't have to drive.
Yeah.
So I just started training at that gym and anyways, I've now competed on 4 seasons and they still have not aired it.
I was gonna say, look at these hands, they're like calloused and
like this finger, like
has it been jammed so many times?
It was only jammed twice, but it's in bad shape. But I will say, it's now been like 5 years that I've been training.
Oh my gosh.
And I've only broken my nose and torn my shoulder and jammed my finger.
Oh,
which
wait.
I feel like is like
pretty good.
Because every time I'm in the gym, I'm doing this crazy stuff that you literally could get like really hurt. So, and that's another thing where I tell God, I'm like, hey, well, we're riding this ride and I don't know where it's going. But like, I know that there's kind of like I could get hurt. So as long as you're going to let me do this, then I guess we'll just keep doing it. But this past season was the most disappointing because now it's been, this is my 4th season. I'm like a veteran of the show now. I'm like the show mom now. I'm like braiding all the little girls' hair and I'm telling, and that's the other thing. Like most of my competitors are like as young as 15.
Jeez.
Most of them are 15 to 22. You know, they're children to me.
Right.
And I'm like, grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, totally thought I was going to have this moment. Like, I brought my son's portrait that I painted and his name is Victory Morgan. And, I wrote Victory on my forearm, you know, and at the beginning, I'm like, let's go. This is for Victory. And we're going to get the victory at the end. And, the girl that had run the course before me, like this time, instead of those steps at the beginning, they changed it. And there was like a trampoline with a pole. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you grabbed the pole, it started to fall. So you had to climb the pole before it hit the water.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, the lady that had gone before me, she fell on that obstacle. And I remember watching her walk with her towel and just be like, oh, nobody wants to go out on the first obstacle. Like, it's so embarrassing.
The first obstacle?
Yeah. Like, oh, that's so sad. So she goes and then I get up there and I do this, you know, this is for Victory. I kiss my husband, see my kids. My kids are all so excited and we're all vested. I run, I hit the trampoline, I grab the pole and it's soaking wet. They hadn't, like, because when you fall, right, it splashes and they hadn't dried the pole. So I'm climbing it and it's like, you feel like there's this train coming and you can't stop it, right?
Oh
like, you
gosh.
Know what the event, like the inevitable is and there's nothing you can do about it. And all this preparation, all these years of training and it's all going down, you know? And you're just like, and I, you know, I've watched the video of it and I literally just look at it going like this and I
And there was no redo.
No. Well, and this is the thing. Like, on the show, they have something called obstacle malfunction.
Yeah.
And I've seen this before. Because sometimes obstacles break. Like, they're not perfect. And so, usually, if there's something wrong, they'll offer the athlete a redo.
Yeah.
So, I go down. And then, five other people went down after me on the exact same obstacle before they were like, oh, I think there's something wrong.
Because they had already gone. Right? Those athletes had already gone, the five?
They went right after me, and they just, all of them went down the first obstacle.
Oh my God.
Which was crazy because, you know, we've been there for hours, and everybody was clearing the first obstacle. Like, it wasn't that hard, right? Like, they intentionally don't make the first obstacle.
Right.
Because they want people to make a show, right?
Yes.
So we're all standing back there with our little American Ninja Warrior towels. We're like, they're going to have to call obstacle malfunction, like, for sure. But what happened is they had started filming late. They filmed in the middle of the night. This is 2 a.m. Mm. And they were supposed to start at 8. They didn't start till 9. And so they're an hour behind. And they didn't have time to let us go. And so it was just like, sorry, catch you next time.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just remember, like, you put on this brave face for your kids because your kids are just like, Mom! And I was like, I know. And like, it wasn't fair. And I was like, I know. Like, sometimes life's not fair.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing this for NBC, and I'm not doing this for personal glory. I'm literally here just because this is something that the Lord put in my path, and I came as physically and spiritually and emotionally prepared for this. And so I just have to be okay with what is.
Yeah. It sucks, though.
Oh, it sucks so bad. So I went to, we got back to my hotel room at like 6 a.m. You've been up, you know, 36 hours. I remember like being, like you walk in and you have this bag of wet clothes. You know, from you falling in the water, and you just like drop it. And I remember writing in my journal something like, well, I'm just really disappointed. And then I said a prayer, and my prayer was just like, God, I don't even know what happened tonight, but I'm so sad, and I guess I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to sleep just thinking like, I'm gonna go to bed, and I'm gonna wake up, and I'm gonna feel better.
Yeah.
And I slept like 3 hours because I'm an early riser. It's hard for me to go to bed at like 6. So I woke up at 9, and all of a sudden I wake up alone in a hotel room because they don't let you stay with your family.
Hmm.
Still COVID reasons.
Right.
You've got to keep us safe. It's dangerous out there. So I wake up and I just remember it all, like the whole thing, right? We've all had experiences like this where you've been through something really hard and you wake up and it's just like replay.
Yes.
Replay, and I was just like, oh, it seems so dumb because it's a TV show, right? But it's just like when you have these dreams.
5 years of training
under
your belt.
Yeah, and it just felt like so unfair. Like, if I would have fallen because I wasn't prepared or because I wasn't strong enough, like, it would have been easier to swallow. But the fact that it was just, like, taken from me, like, I just cried. And I literally it was so pathetic. Like, a person all alone in a hotel room in the sheets sobbing, right? And then I was like, I'm going to take a shower because then I'm going to feel better. And I remember just standing in the shower, and I literally couldn't stop crying. And I was like, why is this so hard for me? But it was like, so devastating.
Yeah.
And then I got home from LA and all that. This was at the back lot of Universal Studios. It was like a big deal. But I get home, and you know, a lot of people, they like quit their jobs or like everything is vested in this TV show.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, yeah, like I seriously, like people are, yeah, I had this job, but I quit it and I'm living in my parents' basement so I could train for American Ninja Warrior. And you're like, jeez. Cool.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I'm so glad I didn't put like everything in the ninja basket. I walk into my studio and I just feel like, this is where I belong. Like, this is my space. Yeah. This is my turf. And I just was so disappointed and frustrated and angry. And I kind of said this prayer, like, why am I doing this? And then the Lord was like, Jenny, did you really think this was about a TV show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you sweet girl. Did you really think I care about NBC?
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know. I mean, I guess. I mean, you were the one that asked me to do this incredibly hard thing. And then I felt, Jenny, look at you. Look at the person that you've become. You are a totally different person now than you were 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenny, I care way more about the development of an individual than I do about reality TV.
Totally.
And then I was like, okay, I guess you're right. Like, mm-hmm. I guess it's been okay. But, so it's funny how, like, I feel like sometimes the Lord puts us on these paths and we can't see why. And we think this is why, mm-hmm. you know? But what's so beautiful is that in the process of not only have I physically become like a different individual, and yeah. now I coach at the Ninja Gym, and now I'm inspiring like these 12-year-old girls to do this hard stuff, and that's awesome. But also it's now like found its way into my art, and I'm painting some of the athletes that I've met on the show and mm-hmm. sharing their stories. And so it's going in this, in actually a really beautiful path, mm-hmm. and I'm excited to where it's going. And none of that would have been possible if I hadn't done this ninja thing.
Right.
But sometimes it's just hard when you think
yeah.
this is why, mm-hmm. and you imagine in your head, like you see in your head like a million times you hitting the buzzer and crying, like ugly crying at the top of the tower, giving all the glory to God.
But you'll get that moment. Well, I think you'll still get it.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
The truth is that I've kind of had to let go of that dream.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't know. Right. And it causes too much sorrow to spend, waste so much time and energy in a place you don't know if it can ever happen. Would it be amazing if it did? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to go on the path that I feel like yeah. it's
and the
it's
purpose
leading.
Is so much deeper.
Yeah, like no. it makes you real. Like when God says, "Do you think I care about reality TV?" And you're like, "Well, I guess not."
So, oh my gosh! So 4 seasons is that 4 years?
So it's actually 5 years because I went to go compete in 2020. So I've actually been invited to compete on the show 5 times. Mm. When I went in 2020, I like moved my kids in the car. This is like the end of like the beginning of March of 2020. Okay, before the COVID, like really yeah. all the crap at the fan. So I moved my kids in the car, and my mom's telling me they're not gonna film the show. There's this crazy COVID thing going on. I was like, Mom, it's Hollywood. Hollywood gets to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And we drive there, and they've got the whole core set up in the back lot of Universal Studios, and my kids are so excited. And then the night before we go to compete,
oh no,
California, shut like down. The government shut it all down.
Oh.
And the producers literally tried all day because they're like, we already have it set up. Like, can we just film? And they're like, no. So I just had to like get in my car and like,
oh my gosh,
drive right back home.
That yeah. sucks too.
Yeah.
So back up. What got you into? I mean. I know you felt inspired, but was there anything that led you to climbing? I mean, let's talk about your son. I for some reason thought that that's why you started climbing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even that.
No.
So tell me about him.
Yeah, so let's see. In 2011, I was mom to 2 little boys. My oldest, Victory Morgan, and then my son, Benson True. And we were living with my parents because my husband had left his career to go to grad school. Mm-hmm. And so that we could survive financially, we moved in with my mom, and she had to get an acre, and there was a pool on her land. And she was so nervous, and I was like, we got all the safety stuff. Mm-hmm. We'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And it was fine for like, yeah. like a year and a half. And then, yeah, just one day, kind of like a perfect storm. All these little events happened to enable my son to pass the gate and pull him out of the pool. And it's just, it's funny how it was 12 years ago, but it was also like, it's still so fresh. Like, I feel like we go through these experiences sometimes that are just like so clear in our mind, you know, like I was feeding my toddler breakfast and then next thing you know, you're just thrown into this nightmare.
Yeah.
And I just remember being on the phone calling 911 and just being like, why aren't they here yet? And then like the paramedics and the CPR and then the cops sit you down and you're watching CPR happen out the window and you're just thinking like, this isn't my life. Like I've got to wake up because this is too bad to actually be happening right now. And then he was revived and he was life flighted. And my husband and I had to get in our car and like drive to the hospital wondering if our son's going to be alive when we get there. And then, we spent 7 weeks in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I remember going home to like shower after like a couple weeks. And I drove past this pharmacy and I saw all these little girls in my neighborhood doing a bake sale for us. And I remember they all ran up to me and they're like, "How's Morgan?" So his name's Victory Morgan, but we call him by his middle name. And I was like, "Oh, you know what? He's gonna be fine." Because I told, like, he wasn't on life support or anything.
I was gonna say, was he on machines? Mm-hmm.
Wow. So they did have him intubated for the first 2 weeks because they were trying to let his lungs heal. So he was in a medically induced coma. But then they took him off of everything. Mm-hmm. And I'll like never forget that day because I was totally talking about like things that you imagine, like how you think it's going to go down and then how it actually goes down mm-hmm. sometimes. Like in my head, I imagine them like taking him off the drugs so that he wakes up, taking the breathing tube out and have him be like, "Mom, I fell in the pool." Mm. Like that's what I thought was going to happen.
So he was unconscious for 7 weeks.
No. He was unconscious for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Just because he was intubated.
Okay.
So instead they pull out the tube and they take him off the drugs and immediately something called the sympathetic storm begins. Mm. So with near drowning victims, like the damage is here, right? So his basal ganglia is like the control center of your brain, and that was damaged. Mm. And what happens in sympathetic storming is like your sympathetic nervous system is like your fight or flight response, and it goes haywire. So it looks kind of like a seizure because in a sympathetic storm, like everything flexes. Mm. So all of his muscles would flex, and then his heart rate and his breathing would go super high. And it would last like 20 minutes and then he'd just pass out in exhaustion.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, "What was that?" And the doctors were like, "Yeah, sometimes in your drowning, there's these sympathetic storms." And I was like, "What?"
Can that heal?
Sometimes it can. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sometimes they say, "Oh, it's like his brain is like his nervous system is trying to reset." Mm. And so I just hoped that there would be light after the storm. I talked about earlier that I did this daily devotional practice that led me in, and that's really what I held to while my son was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I had my journal, I had my scriptures, and I would write, and I would pray, and I would read. And I love having like the journal into the mix and not just like reading scriptures and praying, because that's like the synthesis. That's like where it all comes together, yeah. You know?
How old was he?
He was 3. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I just like I read every scripture story where Christ performed miracles.
Yeah.
I brought all my faith to the table and I knew exactly what God was capable of. And so I just waited. And I would wait as long as it needed to happen for a miracle.
For your miracle, yeah.
And instead his storms grew to be 48 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And it literally like his body just couldn't. And so he passed away, and I just remember being like, I talk about being severely disappointed, right, when I was this past season American Ninja Warrior, but it was like next level, mm-hmm. right? It felt like I'd been in this relationship with somebody for, you know, 25 years, yeah. And he broke that trust, and yes. It just hurt so bad, like on so many levels. Like not only did I hurt because my son wasn't there, and like when your kid's in the hospital, like the thought of going home without him, like I didn't even want to go home and shower because that would mean he would not be with me and I would be going home. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being like, that can't happen. Like there's no way I'm coming back unless he's with me. And so when you have to like face that reality, it's like, that's terrible. But then also like, the spiritual relationship and the spiritual disappointment of like yes. knowing that God can do all things, like knowing it.
And he didn't do it. Right?
And then he didn't do it. And I remember being like, well, God, you tell me that I'm supposed to liken the scriptures to me. But like, where is my story? Mm-hmm. Where is the woman that has all the faith in the world and she brings you her son and you say, sorry, not today? Like, mm. And then when I asked that question, God said, "Genity, what about my son?" Mm. Sometimes people have to die. And I'm so sorry. And I remember being like, but I had all the faith in the world and I brought all his faith to the table.
And you felt almost like betrayed.
Yeah. And then he says, "Well, Genity, what takes more faith? Getting what you want or continuing on when you don't. Mm. And you're like, well, obviously continuing on when you don't. But I had spent so long like developing that relationship, and I was so invested in it,
yeah,
that like I didn't really have anywhere else to go.
Yeah.
And so even though I was disappointed, I just kept showing up every day with my journal, with my scriptures, just like I showed up when I was really disappointed. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really disappointed. Super. Also still very disappointed.
Awesome. By the way.
And I know, and you know, that we both know that you know what you're capable of.
Yeah.
But I, obviously, this is part of something that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have to have that humility to say, like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you do. And you know me. And I know you've got me. So let's just trudge through this really difficult road together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, there were times. I'm a bit advocate for people to tell God that they're mad at him.
Yeah.
I think he likes it.
Yeah.
I tell people, and I go around and speak quite a bit, and I tell people, I say, if you've never been disappointed in God, if he's never hurt your feelings, if he's never let you down, you don't have a real relationship with him.
Yeah.
Because think of all the relationships we have, our parents, our best friends, our spouses, our kids. Yeah. Part of having like a true relationship is that it's not going to be perfect all the time.
Right.
And so I feel like God would prefer us to bring like our best self to the like our real self to the table than our best self. Like, mm-hmm. I think he'd rather us just say, I'm really mad today. I'm going to tell you about it.
Yeah. And just like we would have a normal relationship with anyone.
Yeah.
You come with a problem like, dude, this is not working for me.
Yeah. And honestly, that's how my relationship with God even got started, because, you know, when I was 10, my mom told me that I could have a relationship with him. And if I did these three things every day, mm-hmm. wrote and read scripture and prayed, and I believed her. And so I started, and at first it's really simple because you're 10. So you're writing about, like, I went, jumped on the trampoline today, mm-hmm. and I had ramen for lunch, and then mm-hmm. I'm getting school clothes, and you know.
Yeah.
And then because your life is so shallow, it's like you read the scriptures and it's like, well, let's pick a good verse in Proverbs today. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Good. And then you say a prayer, and it's like,
check.
I had such a great day today. Let's make tomorrow great too.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's totally. It's very superficial because
yeah,
you haven't experienced pain yet.
Right.
You know? So for me, like, it's like, it, but the pattern, right? So even if you're writing trite things and you're saying trite prayers and you're reading trite scriptures,
it's
fantastic.
You're creating
fantastic. Because eventually I tell people, if you have not had a major problem yet, you will eventually.
Seriously. Stick around.
Right. And so then as soon, I think I was like 14 when like my first real problem came, and I had this friend that was like my best friend, and then she like ghosted me.
Mm.
And she wouldn't talk to me, and I didn't know why, and it like hurt. And so all of a sudden, like, I'm writing about, I have a problem and this girl, like, and it hurts. And then like when you read the scriptures, it's, was Christ ever hurt by his friends?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you pray, you're like, well, what do I do? How do I mend this relationship? And you're seeking for answers. And so this pattern took some of my faith that was at once, you know, just kind of like very surface level.
Yeah.
And it like, you know, it becomes very applicable to your life.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I started finding answers to my problems. And it became like a record, like a personal record.
Hmm.
That God knew me, because I had like the written evidence.
Wow.
in my journal.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was like when you're doing that every day, like, you really did create like a relationship.
Wow.
And I recommend it to everyone, because I feel like you go to church and you learn, like, you should read the scriptures, you should pray, you know? But I feel like until you learn how to like really internalize it and make it personal,
mm-hmm.
and the writing, because that's where you figure out what you need to pray about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and really the scriptures are journal entries.
That's right! Like, I know, like, why are we not talking about journaling more? Because like, we wouldn't even have the Bible if nobody wrote it down.
And Wilford Woodruff wrote in his journal every day, and that's why we know half the things we know about the prophet Joseph Smith. Like,
And I only started recently journaling again with what I'm dealing with because I want to be able to look back and remember and see how far I've come.
Yeah.
Is that what's kind of helped you? Like you can look back at...
Oh my gosh. Yes. I tell people all the time, you can time travel.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you. I love actual experiences. So.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I have this little time travel shelf over here in my studio.
There it is. That's one of them. One of many, probably.
Many of you probably have the same journal.
I do. I totally
do. This is like the 1995 Desert Book Edition.
Yes.
Okay. So, like, how cool is this? Like, I told my son.
Like, but it's so sacred. Your kids will have this forever. You know what I mean? It'll just be passed down. Like it'll be Genevieve, Oregon.
Like I can't find it because I'm not quite sure it is right now. But my son just had like his first dance in sixth grade. Like they did a Valentine dance, and I told him I was like, dude, you know what? You could go to my journal. You can read
the exact
my actual experience in sixth grade at my first actual sixth grade dance. How cool is that?
So do you write every day?
So that's another thing I will say. I was not super consistent. Like, look here. Here's like 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks.
But still, consistent for years, maybe not every day. But
that's right. Yeah. And I tell people that because I feel like sometimes there's this like self-doubt that's like, oh, well, you were going to be consistent and you missed a day.
Yeah.
And now you've missed 2 weeks. So
then they just give up
it looks
altogether.
Like your journal time is over. Mm-hmm. You know, like, why do we think like that? Mm-hmm. I think it's because the adversary is trying to keep us from doing good things. Right. Mm-hmm. So he puts all these excuses in our mind. But really, yeah, consistency is just showing up again. If it's been a minute, you show up again, mm-hmm. and you show up again, mm-hmm. and you show up again over. This is the long game.
Yeah.
You know, this is a marathon here. So anyway, so I love that you can go back. These are my most sacred journals, and they're my ugliest ones. This is the Tucson Medical Center free
Aww.
Notepads that they give you.
Oh, they were? Oh, like, I was going to say, it doesn't look like a normal.
So I have Morgan's Victory Part 1 and Part 2.
Oh my gosh, so that's 7 weeks worth.
Mm-hmm.
So was he ever cognitive? He never was.
And I think I think I'm going to get to the other side and realize that he was part here and part there most of the time.
Oh, for sure.
But
did he pass away during one of those storms?
Well, actually what happened is his body just broke. So everything just stopped working. So I mean, it was after like the 48-hour storm that
did it make you think of like the atonement? You know, like Christ in Gethsemane, you know, like the bleeding from every pore, feeling everything that we felt like his literal body could not handle it and gave out.
Just about every day, especially because there's like a lot of nights, like my husband would go home to be with our toddler, or he was in grad school. My gosh, my husband, he had a homework to do.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Was Victory your first?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so there were many nights that it was literally just me and him.
Mm-hmm.
And the storms come and go kind of like contractions. You know, like he'd have one for 20 minutes, then he'd pass out for a couple hours, and then you'd watch him start to wake up, and then he'd go right into a storm. And as his mom, like, all I could do was just, like, stand there and hold his hand and pray. And, oh my gosh, I thought about Gethsemane. I thought about the atonement of Jesus Christ, like,
all the time.
Yeah. This is one of my most favorite pages. So here's this little portrait. This was 3 days before he passed away. My little angel boy. You know, and it's like, I still was hoping, even when I drew this, like, this wasn't going to be his last portrait.
Yeah,
you know, but I do remember when I drew it thinking he looked like an angel.
He does. And he looks like he's just resting so peacefully. Was that after a storm?
Yeah. So, how cool is it, though, that when you keep a journal, when you have a record, that you can go back and you can read how you felt. And what's so crazy is that, like, we change so much. that I feel like when I go back and I read my old journals, it's like a different me. Mm-hmm. I actually do want to write a book one day where it's like a memoir, where it's a collaborative effort with the various versions of myself.
Yeah.
But honestly, more than anything, I feel like the record, yeah, you can time travel, which is really cool, but it just shows God's hand in your life, like over and over and over. Like, and I think about in the scriptures, like one of the most important words is remember. Mm-hmm. And it's because we forget. We think that we're going to remember. We don't.
Yeah.
But if you have a record, then you can't forget.
Yeah.
And because it's a living thing. Like, I have this edition over there on the counter, just like writing it this morning, you know. So it keeps your testimony, it keeps your faith in Christ like so present.
Have you felt his little spirit or big spirit since
he is big. He's informed me of that. Yes, I feel him. In fact, I did. Let me get this. I like show and tell.
This is all her art back here.
I guess this is good that your podcast is a video.
Yes, if you're listening, we're grabbing some artwork here.
Okay. So this painting is called Close But Separate.
This is you.
This is me. Mm-hmm. And this is my little son rising up through the veil.
Oh my gosh.
And I painted it because I actually had a friend from high school who lost her son in 2015, so just a couple of years after me. And there's this longing in your heart as a mother, you know, that you feel like you reach for him all the time. Mm. And the truth is, I do know that we live after we die, because I have had many encounters with my son.
Really?
Yes. But we're separate.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen him. I've felt him. I haven't seen him. And so it's hard because you know that he's like
right there.
So close, but you're separate. And then I used this watch as a shackle, because I realized it's just time. Like, we're only separated by time.
Yeah. Oh.
In fact, the time on the clock is 11/12, the day that he passed away.
Was it November 12th? Or at the...
Uh-huh. Okay. November 12th. So, I painted this because I do feel him a lot. I remember feeling gravity. Mm. And feeling so, like, weighted here.
That's what the weight is.
Yeah, and he was lifted home, you know? And then what's interesting is that a couple of years after I painted that, I painted this one. So this, you know, I have, like, the same chain and the watch.
Mm-hmm.
This painting is called His Strength Is Mine, because I realized that this chain, like this thing that used to hold me down, this grief, this mortality, had become like a catalyst for growth and
which
for strength.
Which is actually what lifts you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I included a couple scriptures in the back.
Oh, awesome.
One is from the Book of Alma and the Book of Mormon, where it says that they could bear up their burdens with ease. It talks about like there's this time where these people are in bondage, mm-hmm. and instead of God freeing them, it says he just strengthens their shoulders that they could bear the burdens.
And ask them to submit cheerfully.
Yeah. And so, like, I felt that, you know, up to this point, I had trials that had come into my life and then they left, right? Like, you have a struggle, you pray, and then eventually resolves. And then I was realizing that I was now being handed a trial that was never going to resolve in this life.
Right.
And so I was going to have to bear this burden, like, the remainder of my life. Mm-hmm. But knowing that God could strengthen me to bear it. And then I also include 2 Timothy, where it says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And what's crazy is I painted this in, I want to say, 2016-ish, like a year after I painted that one.
That's before all your ninja stuff.
This is 2 years.
That's crazy. And you ripped there too. Was it you were? Yeah, you are. This picture.
I need to redo it because I'm actually. I thought I was strong, and it was strong.
Yeah.
But this was like boot camp at the rec center. This was my my progress picture.
It's like your spirit, your soul knew.
Yeah.
You know, it came out in paint form, and then your mind came, you came up with the apples.
Well, it's funny because, and this is one thing that I tell people, is that, like, you don't really know who you are.
Yeah.
But God does. He's known you forever.
Yeah, and our soul is so old.
And so that's why I say, like, as you focus on building this relationship with God, like a personal, like, put him in your life, as you come to know him, he introduces you to who you really are.
Mm.
Because you don't really know.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't an artist growing up.
I know, yeah, I wanted to get in that too. When did this start?
Well, so this is a series of events that led me to move my senior year of high school. And my parents gave me the option to stay or to move.
Mm.
And what did I do to make that decision? I wrote.
Yeah,
you prayed. I prayed, and I wrote, and I read my scriptures. I did that same pattern. And through that pattern, I learned that despite what I wanted, because we were living here in Utah, and I was going to, I had a big school, and I had auditioned for the choir, and I was going to be in the band, all the stuff, you know. And I had to, like, let it all go. But he asked me to move with my family to Colorado.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, I find myself in this very small town in a very small school. I think I went from, like, a 5A school to, like, a 2A school.
Dang.
There was, like, 80 kids in my grade.
And what grade? Your senior year?
My senior year. There was 80 kids. I was just teaching art in my kids' elementary school this morning. There's like 33 kids in their class. I'm like, yeah, this was like almost half of my
senior class.
So anyways, like I up to that point, I was a very academic girl. I was like so nerdy, you wouldn't believe it. I was so nerdy. I had glasses and headgear, and I was so nerdy. I just wanted, like, I didn't have much of a social life. I just wanted to get good grades, all that. I didn't have headgear in high school, just, you know. Because mainly I just had to wear it, but still. They're incriminating pictures of me.
Yes.
So I just wanted a full ride to college. Like, that was my focus all through, like, growing up. I want to be valedictorian. I want a full ride to college. So when I go to sign up for classes at this new school, I was like, give me AP honors,
yeah.
Just line it up.
Yeah.
And she was like, we actually don't do any of that here.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Actual artifact.
Were you mad at your, like, were you bitter at your parents?
No, because it wasn't my parents who asked me to go.
You did just, yeah.
God asked me to go.
Jeez, she was, like, so spiritually sound, so young. Wow.
No, I started when I was, like,
yeah, you said you started
2 weeks before sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd already been invested for a minute. Okay, so then I look at the class options, and I was like, well, I guess I'll take art.
Oh, my gosh.
And I want to preface this by saying, it's not that I didn't like art or do art at all before then.
But this was not in the plans.
It just wasn't like I wasn't going to grow up and be
an artist.
A full-time oil painter.
Full-blown, yeah.
Like, I loved in fifth grade, my friends and I loved coloring books. I still love Crayola with all my heart. But, yeah, so
oh my gosh.
So when I signed up, the teacher had us keep an art journal.
Oh, my gosh. You're like, I got this.
I was like, I love journaling. So that just was, like, the perfect introduction for me. But I couldn't draw very well, so it was mostly
collage. Out of magazines.
Be impressed. I'll show you some of my favorite excerpts from high school.
Jeez. But, like, natural talent, it feels like. It's more than I can do.
Are you kidding me right now?
I'll tell you what, most kids that go to art school have more talent than this.
What's
just
this one right here?
Oh, that's
true. At the front of the...
No, oh, look at that. Oh. Look at that.
This is my people.
My people.
Okay. Be impressed. Orange is my favorite color still.
So anyways,
this is so funny.
So this was my introduction to art. And then I told my mom, oh my gosh, I love this so much, I'm gonna be an artist.
Oh my gosh.
She was like, are you sure?
So then did you do, like, an art school after that? Like,
so yeah, so I got a scholarship to BYU, Idaho.
Mm.
And freshman orientation, sitting in this big class. And I was at a tiny school, right? And something about being in a small pond is you have this confidence that maybe you could do things because lack of people
yes.
to compare
yes.
yourself to. So go to the university and
like, oh,
they
I'm
do
just like everyone else.
They do a PowerPoint of, like, previous student art.
Mm. And you were
and
like,
I'm thinking
oh.
of this.
I mean, you still had a scholarship. You had to have had talent. Then they saw
I did
it.
Have an art scholarship.
Oh, it wasn't art.
I had a, are you kidding me?
Well, it's so much better than I could do.
I was an academic scholarship. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is, I'm in the wrong building. I can't do any of that. So I left and was thinking I had to change my major. I didn't know what I was going to do. Maybe write. I still love to write. And then I'm like crossing the street in Rexburg, Idaho, and I'm feeling a thought, a phrase. It says, Jendy, you can be an artist. Hmm. And I thought, have you seen my art? How could I possibly be an artist? And then God told me, I'm going to help you. I will direct your hand. And I remember being like, well, you can do anything. So if this is going to be a partnership thing, like if this is going to be a collab, then like, let's go.
Collab.
Yeah. So I did have this stunning realization of how much time I needed to make up for. Because most people start when they're 5 and they're like, I'm going to be an artist.
I'm a prodigy, yeah.
Yeah. And so I go to school at 4 because that's when the building opened. And I would be there all by myself in this classroom, and because the janitors were cleaning it, so mm-hmm. I was open. And I would just say a prayer, like, okay, you told me I can do this. We both know what I'm capable of. So we're going to need you to show up today if anything good's going to happen. But I'm like here to put in the work.
Jeez.
And so like over the period of 4 years, just so many precious, I still like to paint at 4 a.m. It's my favorite time. Because mm-hmm. I just feel like there's such a, like, feels like heaven is like so close and there's not a lot of distraction.
Mm-hmm. It's still so dark and quiet.
So that's how I became an artist. So it was like everything in my life, from like fitness to art, I felt introduced to it by the Lord. You know, and I go back and I look at these paintings of me like in 2016 and it was long before I was painting American Ninja Warrior athletes and mm-hmm. strong women and this big project that I'm working on. And I think, wow, there was like a foreshadowing, right? Like, yeah. And it's because God knew where he was taking me, even though I couldn't see it.
Yeah. It was like manifesting in your art, which is crazy.
I wanted to look strong in this painting because the idea is his strength is mine, meaning he will strengthen you to carry the burdens that he places on your shoulders. Mm. And his strength is way bigger than mine. Yeah. And so just to feel that power of like God is there and he's there for all of us. It was just like the coolest thing. Like we are his children mm-hmm. and he's there for us. Like in all the things that we're going through to support us. And what we need to do is learn to tap into that strength.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. Like, I think I used to think that, like, I'm a child of God. I am naturally spiritual.
Right. Yeah. No, you, like, have to, like, there's a thing, it's on my page. Spiritual grit is a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thing. You have to learn it.
Yeah.
And, in fact, I just did a little post on Instagram last week about this, but, one of the things that's come into my life because of Ninja is acro yoga. Mm. This is like
part. I saw that we were standing on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I had a week, I was working on a painting and I was struggling and I'm working on this, a project that's much bigger than me and feeling overwhelmed. And I felt like I was ricocheting the whole week between like fear and faith.
Yeah.
And I was kind of feeling bad about it. Like, God, we have been in this like a long time together. Like literally been in this devotional practice for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
And we've been through hell and back. And yet, why do I still waver in my faith sometimes? Why do I not trust you completely? Because I would have days where I'd fall for it, of the like, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not capable, you know? And then the next day, I'd kind of reset, come back here to my studio at 4 a.m. to paint and just feel like peace. Mm. And I'd be like, why can't I stay here? Yeah. Why can't I just stay in peace and strength and support and we got this, you know? Yeah. And God reminded me of like when I go to the ninja gym and I'm practicing standing on someone's shoulders.
Right.
So unsupported, just my feet are on his shoulders and he's standing and I'm standing. And when you're in that space, you think, I could get seriously injured. Mm-hmm. I could fall. There's mm-hmm. no mat. I just hit the floor. I could break my arm. Mm-hmm. And then you go, but I'm just, your coach tells you, breathe. You know, all I have to do is breathe. All I have to do is stand. I can stand anywhere. I can stand. I can stand. That's literally all I have to do right now is stand. Just minor fact that I'm on someone's shoulders, but all I have to do is stand.
Yes.
And so I find myself like mentally going back and forth between like, I'm gonna die, you're fine, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I could see that same pattern in my life.
Right.
And then God just told me like, Genevieve, guess what? You're learning. Like you're learning faith.
Yeah.
Like I put you into a space where you can't see me and you have to actually develop spiritual muscles.
Yeah.
And guess what? You can stand on my shoulders for a longer period of time than you could before. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's going to be moments that you waver. Just come back to center and breathe and trust me, you know?
You just, throughout your life, can find a spiritual metaphor anywhere you look. Like, that is spiritual grit. She's got the physical grit, the spiritual grit, the mental, the emotional. You've got them all covered.
Well, I think that the symbolism comes from writing. Mm. Because when you're writing, it just kind of puts you in a space. Like, I tell people, like, if you're just going through life, you're just always in the present. You're always just taking things as they come. You never have the big view. And I feel like if you just take, even if it's just like 10 minutes, dude, like take 10 minutes in your morning to just get a bigger shot, I feel like you train yourself to start seeing the similarities in different aspects of your life, like seeing the symbolism. And honestly, and as you train yourself to hear God, because I feel like he does talk to all of us a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. I once heard a talk where a lady said that she kept a journal for a year, just all the different ways she felt like God had tried to talk to her that year. Mm. And from like advice from other people to, I was listening to this song to, you know, because there's all different ways that he's trying to get our attention.
Right.
But one of the things I think about having this daily devotional practice is that you're showing God that your ears are open.
Right. It's the willingness.
Yeah. And if you're open, desire. Then I feel like he's like, Jenny's listening.
What's the floodgates?
Let's give her some insight, you know? So, I mean, I was literally, it's not like I did, I wasn't even writing when I was thinking about the standing on the shoulders analogy. I was literally painting this painting, and then just, the thoughts just come. And then I write them down, and then they kind of get cemented in, so.
Oh my gosh. I'm, like, overwhelmed with, I don't even know, with spirituality, with emotional fortitude. You've inspired me.
Thanks.
And all these people that she's going to inspire that are watching. She has been through a lot and accomplished so much. I just want to like take a tour of all these pictures. You're at Genevieve Page on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's your website?
Just genevievepage.com.
P-A-I-G-E. So I'll put that in the description.
And my first name, J-E-N-E-D-Y.
Yeah, where'd
that come from? One in. My mom was having a creative moment. You know, she just like, she's pulled that one out of the air. She combined, like, she was thinking of the name, because it was the 80s, you know, she was thinking of the name Jennifer. And then her mom's best friend was a dean.
Oh.
And then she just kind of like...
combined them both. Is your mom an artist?
Yes. I mean, she doesn't oil paint or anything, but she loves to like be an artist in her home. Like she likes to paint walls. Like not murals, just like color. But and then as a kid, she did like a lot of craft shows. Like she did toll painting. Remember like in the early 90s?
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that have been around since the early 90s. She would do craft shows and she'd like make ornaments and stuff. And so she'd do like acrylic little stuff. But
oh my gosh. Well, I got to talk to her before too. And she's, it's no wonder you're so powerful.
I know. She I just got like to her.
Yeah.
She's the one that introduced me, right?
To the
prayer journal structure.
Yeah. I was going to say that your mom was a huge influence in your life. Thank you for doing this with me. Oh my gosh. I'm feeling like inspired to go conquer the world after talking to her.
Let's go!
And to go take some ninja classes.
Yeah, and actually, as a little like...
plug?
Little plug, I am working on a project that's going to be called the Strong Woman
Experience. Yes, I love this.
It won't be until fall of 25, so just...
It wants to be
gonna,
there.
It's going
to
be a minute. I am going to have a booth at FitCon this April. I think I'm the only artist to have ever... I should look it up, but I'm pretty sure I'm the only artist that's ever had a booth at FitCon where I'll have, like, some of my prints of Strong Women, but also it will mainly just be, like, a sign-up to get your email to get information.
Yeah.
So when tickets are available, you can come to the event. But it will essentially be a conference where we discuss what it is to be a strong woman mentally, spiritually, physically.
I mean, this is the epitome of gritty girls and gritty mamas.
Yeah.
Just two different ideas.
And I've painted all these incredibly strong women, and they're going to come and share their personal stories But I don't want it to just be a conference where we all sit with our notepads. So I want, that's why I'm calling it an experience, because I'm going to host it most likely at the world's largest ninja gym.
Oh my gosh!
Not that you have to ninja to come. It just
where's
be available
the world's largest? Where is it?
In Sandy.
Oh, it's fun.
It's called Impact.
I live in Sandy.
Yeah. So
it's the one, the biggest in the world.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, but it will. They have this huge space, so I'm planning on putting in like cold plunges, yoga classes. Like I want it to be very experiential and like journaling, mental health, like cover like eating, nutrition. You know, like cover like the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
So follow me on Instagram to get